Stage. How's everybody doing today? We doing good? Eyes on the stage, people. Eyes on the stage. Out of your computers. Hope everybody's had a good South By so far. Salt-rimmed margaritas by the lake. You know, working on your tans. Weather's been awesome. Sorry about that. But we're very happy to have you here. We're here through the entire event with the best of book author readings across technology, culture, design, and more. And we're going to blend a couple of those topics right here, right now, with Andrea Phillips and her book, A Creator's Guide to Transmedia Storytelling. Andrea is a game designer. She's a blogger. She's worked and has an experience with Sony Pictures, Kathy's Key, True Blood. And she is going to talk to her book, A Practical Manual on the Art and Craft of Storytelling. Big warm welcome for Andrea. Thanks, Andrea.
Hello. So I wrote this book called A Creator's Guide to Transmedia Storytelling. And as is the way of my people, before I can say anything else, I need to tell you what I mean when I say transmedia. I'm actually cribbing this a little bit from Henry Jenkins at USC. I have three criteria for transmedia storytelling: multiple media, a single unified story or experience, and avoidance of redundancy between media, which means if you take the same episode of Yo Gabba Gabba that you have on TV and then you put it on a DVD, that does not make it transmedia. Now, what I'm doing today is actually reading a couple of quick excerpts from my book. It's a really, really practical book, and it's full of really practical stuff. And my goal today is to give you a couple of pieces of information you can take action on. Because for a long time in transmedia, we've kept to ourselves, and we've had proprietary secrets, and we haven't really shared anything with one another. And there has increasingly been a lot of conversation about transmedia in the last few years, but most of it is about branding and engagement and money. And no one's telling you this stuff like, if you put a placeholder login and password field on a website, people are going to be really mad if that never works. And it's not a glamorous thing, but this is really important information. And the only place that this information was being discussed was in the halls of places like South by Southwest between creators who had been through these horrible experiences together of learning everything absolutely the hardest way possible. So in writing A Creator's Guide to Transmedia Storytelling, I'm trying to share some of this horrible, horrible stuff so that not everyone has to learn it the hard way. I'm going to start with a little bit of an expansion on my transmedia definition. Okay? Telling a story transmedia style involves one of two processes. Either you take a single story and you splinter it across multiple media, or you start with one story and you keep adding pieces onto it ad infinitum. Both of these processes will result in projects that can be described with phrases like greater than the sum of its parts and a single cohesive story. The end result of both of these processes is fragmentation. The story has been broken into pieces. It's just a matter of scale. Star Wars uses story broken into really big fragments, a whole book or a film. The indie film Pandemic uses much smaller ones, like a bottle of water or a series of tweets. And then there are a number of hybrid projects that mix big and little pieces together, like Kathy's book, which used a single medium narrative piece, a book, but combined it with fragments of evidence and online components to tell a deeper story. Now, there are actually a lot of hybrid transmedia experiences like that out there right now. Some of my favorites are the TV show How I Met Your Mother, which has, of course, the core television component and then all of this crazy web stuff and then even books. I think there are three books out now about the bro code and how to be Neil Patrick Harris, basically. And, of course, there's the Old Spice guy. I would consider him to be a sort of transmedia entity as well. So there are a lot of big sort of questions addressed in my book, and I've abridged a couple of the most pertinent, most practical things that I think people need to know the most. And the first one of these things is about seeding, which is a really hard thing to do. The launch of a transmedia project is a delicate time. You generally want to reach the widest audience, and you want everyone to come away with a great experience. Unfortunately, there are several myths that creators buy into that can seriously damage their reach and keep participation down. The first and biggest is the idea that a transmedia project doesn't need to be marketed, or that transmedia is its own marketing. Many creators do prefer a subtle, organic approach to seeding, putting content into the world and then hoping that somebody notices and cares. But there are strong benefits to pulling in traditional advertising and PR techniques. I can't say this enough. Transmedia isn't inherently the same thing as marketing, and so it needs to be marketed in its own right, just like every other form of entertainment. Once you've launched, don't stop seeding until your project is winding down. It's common practice for creators of an ongoing transmedia story to just market at launch, thinking that their entire audience will materialize at that point, and then word of mouth will take over. You can't count on this. Structure your project to be accessible to newcomers even 2 or 3 weeks, months, or years in. Another common question I get is, what media should I use? Which platforms should I use? In an ideal world, the media you'd choose to use are the ones that serve your story the best. Bam, you're done. Unfortunately, in the real world, we have to be a little more pragmatic and take into account a giddy whirlwind of factors, from time and budget restrictions to audience sophistication, accessibility, and scale. Almost every individual or company will start out stronger in creation and production of one medium over others. You need to play to your strengths. If you and your team have a filmmaking background, then focus on that and make as much mileage with it as you can. A core film component, episodic web content, unlockable video in a mobile application. If your background and strength lies in text, then stick with that. Focus on books, blog posts, emails, updates on social media. If you come from a traditional gaming background, focus on points of interaction, interlinked games, small and large. If theater is your strong suit, build an experience rooted in live performance or a series of live performances. Most transmedia projects tend to be grounded most solidly in a single medium anyway, with other components acting more as satellites orbiting the main event than entire standalone projects. That may change in time, but for now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with sticking to what you know. That's not to say you shouldn't try to stretch to include more and different media every time you design a new project. You should, absolutely. Every platform brings something else to your project. Tentpole pieces like TV, books, and film create solid revenue streams, of course. Social media and the web are excellent for interaction, or at least the feeling of interaction, even with millions of people. Splashy live events make for fantastic publicity. And I have a rule. I was just going through copy edits of my book, and this rule I think I say about 100 times in the book, so I apologize. But it's always, always reward effort from your audience. There's a famous scene in the 1983 film, A Christmas Story. The lead in it, a boy named Ralphie, has finally received the Little Orphan Annie decoder ring. He can at last understand the coded messages Annie sends out at the end of each episode of her radio drama. The moment arrives. He jots down the code. He locks himself in the bathroom. He works furiously to decipher the message. It's, "Be sure to drink your Ovaltine." His reaction is anything but a renewed dedication to Ovaltine. The lesson here as a transmedia creator should be obvious. Anytime you're asking your audience to put forth effort, you need to reward that effort in kind. If you're asking them to solve a puzzle, you should unlock new content. If you're doing an overt game mechanic, reward them with points and badges. If you're asking for an extraordinary outlay of time and energy, like asking them to show up at a physical location at a particular date and time, the reward should be just as extraordinary. And make sure you're giving the audience something they want. And not just something you want them to have. There's no quicker way to alienate an audience than to make them feel like you're wasting their time. So, there are five basic sections in my book. One of them is the introduction, where I talk about what transmedia is and what it's good for. There's a section on storytelling, both the basics of storytelling as a whole and how those rules change for transmedia. A section on structure, which is absolutely the key piece to designing a transmedia experience. A little bit on production, and then there's a big picture section where I talk about stuff like money and ethics. Now, I'm not going to read a lot more practical stuff, but I thought I would give you a couple more quick pieces of practical advice, things that you could use today. One of them is don't ever, ever, ever use a placeholder address on anything because people will think it's a real place and they'll try to go there, and then they'll be mad when that doesn't work out for them. If you have an interaction planned where your players are meant to find information by Googling something, make sure you have Google index the site well ahead of the time when they're supposed to do this. The things that you only learn the hard way. And here's a little bit of writing advice. In early writing for a transmedia experience, you should leave yourself a lot of little loose ends, detail, elements of color. In later writing, you should always look back over the earlier threads of your narrative and find those. And find a way to make them plot points. Find a way to make them pivotal to something that happens later on. The result of this is that your audience thinks you planned it that way the whole time, and they'll think you're a freaking genius. It's amazing. And of course, you're not that smart. You just know how to use the tools that you've planted for yourself ahead of time. For my last little piece, I'd like to actually tell you a little bit of a personal story. This is a spoiler from the end of my book, so I apologize for that. And it's a little bit about kind of the life of being a creator. And another one of the most important lessons, I think, from the book. December of 2007 was a really, really bad time for me. My run with Perplex City, which was a 2-year puzzle hunt, had ended unexpectedly when the second season, already in production, was scrapped. Afterward, I'd quickly found a job with a new game startup contingent only on the funding coming through, and the funding deal had already been signed. But as the weather grew colder, it became more and more clear that the ink on that funding deal was worthless. No money was in the offing, nor would it ever be. So I was broke. Broke enough to do SEO writing and scour Craigslist for any shady copywriting gig I could find. Worried about making mortgage payments. Trying to find a job and failing. I kept going into New York City to have meetings and job interviews with interactive and digital ad agencies. I'd talk about games, narrative, and deep engagement. They'd talk about banner ads and SEO. It was like I was from a different planet. Or, as it turns out, like I was from the future. And as much as I was desperate to do paying work, I was equally hungry to do fulfilling work. Perplex City had been 3 years of incredible creative collaboration with an exceptional team, and it was just gone. I was lonely and unproductive. I was terrified that my career as a creator had ground to a halt and would never move forward again. I was waiting for a break, waiting for an offer, waiting for someone to notice me and tell me what to do next, and waiting, and waiting, and waiting. And then I started talking to my old friend and fellow cloud maker, Jay Bushman. He had recently launched a Twitter adaptation of a Herman Melville story called The Good Captain. Every day for 3 months, The Good Captain spun out a few short sentences of the tale of a drifting spaceship and the robot mutiny that had led to the ship's dire situation. This is the same Jay Bushman, by the way, who's doing South by Southwesteros right now on Twitter. I found myself profoundly jealous of Bushman's ability to create and promote something so interesting when it wasn't his job and he had no funding. What did he have that I didn't? The answer, of course, was nothing at all. Nothing but the sheer drive to create something. This ignited the spark in me that had been missing. The passion to just make something with whatever resources I had. Since I was so dead broke, those resources amounted to my brain, my fingers to type with, the computer I already owned, and the internet connection I was already paying for. But Twitter is free. So I made Madam Z a Twitter account to tell horoscopes. It was just a tiny little project, a single tweet a day, and it never found a mass audience. It still hasn't. All the same, it felt absolutely amazing to be making something new and putting it out there in the world. Sometime later, I decided to experiment with Google Calendars as a vehicle for narrative, testing my theory that anything at all can tell a story if you try hard enough. I made a short time travel story called Circular Logic and posted it to my blog. Other small-scale projects followed. A collaborative wiki fiction experiment called Voices. A group writing challenge called My Super First Day. I'll be the first to admit that none of these things was exceptional in execution or in concept. They are by far not my best work. But that's not the point anyway. The point is that in pursuing my vision, I joined the ranks of indie filmmakers, artists, and writers who know and have always known that if you're passionate enough and you're willing to put in the time to develop the necessary skills, you'll find a way to be creative, even without venture capital, grants, or contracts. A curious correlation arose. The more indie stuff I made, the more paying work I got, too, with an amazing array of projects. Why? There are a lot of people who talk about transmedia. It turns out there are precious few who are actually trying to make something with what they have right now. Since then, I've had the great privilege of working on a number of high-profile projects with some of the finest and most talented creators in the field. And it's nothing special about me. You can do it too. Just prove that you have the ambition to create, no matter your situation. That puts you at an advantage. So my biggest, most important lesson is this. You can't wait for permission or funding or a contract or a job. Once you get this, and I mean really, really get this, you and your career will be transformed. You will be liberated. Don't hang around hoping somebody specifically asks you to make something. Find something to get excited about, and then as the Nike ads go, just do it. There has never been a more exciting time to be a storyteller, and we're sitting on the brink of a whole new art form. We don't know what it's going to look like when it grows up. But that means we can try just about anything we want. Take a deep breath and jump into it. You won't regret it. So, I do actually have a couple of other things. One of them is these attractive postcards with the cover to my book on it. In the interest of full disclosure, you should know my book doesn't actually come out until June 22nd, so you can pre-order it. And I have special dark technology that will let me sign your book right now if you come and you pinky swear that you'll pre-order it. So you should find me. And the first chapter and the table of contents are downloadable for free on my website right now. Aside from that, you guys should know, if you're interested in transmedia, that there will be a meetup in the Omni Hotel bar at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and it would be lovely to see some of you there. And I also run on my website, the URL of which is on one of these postcards that you should grab. I run a weekly chat called A Creator's Chat about Transmedia Storytelling, usually on Tuesdays or Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern time, but it does move around a little bit depending on what my schedule is like. And you are more than welcome to come into the chat and talk about transmedia. And aside from that, do I have questions? Questions time? Yeah? All right, so I can answer some questions if anyone has questions about transmedia. Are we questionless? Oh my goodness, that's very sad. All right, well, I guess I'm done here then. Have a lovely night. Thank you.